Okay, good afternoon. Last presentation of the day, so I'm glad you could all stick around for that. Our next presenting company is Brainstorm Cell Therapeutics, Inc., from Hackensack, New Jersey. Brainstorm Cell Therapeutics is focused on CNS, neurological, orphan, rare disease, and gene cell therapy. Presenting for Brainstorm Cell Therapeutics is their president and CEO, John Levitz. Following, there'll be a breakout if anyone's interested in room number 2 in the Grand Ballroom.
Good afternoon. That's tough to be the last presenter of the day. Thanks for the opportunity. Thanks for the introduction. At least it allows me to go over the half hour, right? Who knows who will stay? Yeah. Anyway, there are a lot of listeners via the internet, and everyone listening is important for us. So I guess you are familiar with the forward-looking statements. This is just a short overview of the company and its holdings. Neuron technology. We believe that neuron is a platform to treat various neurodegenerative diseases in the CNS space. What's neuron? Neuron is a bone marrow containing self-renewing stem cells. We abstract those stem cells. We isolate them, purify them to a very small number of stem cells, 0.02, and we're able to expand them to hundreds of millions of cells. And that's mesenchymal cells, and then we have a differentiation process, which we call neuron and also known as mesenchymal neurotrophic cells. The neuron technology came a long way from its initiation, and we are now able to cryopreserve, meaning once we extract the cells, isolate them, expand them, and then we cryopreserve them, and it's able to serve any patient for 2 to 3 years of treatments. R&D is ongoing, and these are huge accomplishments already, and we foresee in the next few months even more accomplishments in the CMC of the manufacturing of the cells, and perhaps even cryopreserving the final product as well. For now, what we do is we cryopreserve them with the chymal cells, and then before treatment, we need only 7 days defreeze, expand and differentiate and re-inject. It's only a 7-day cycle. It's as close as you can get with a personal cell therapy to an allogeneic and off-the-shelf product. Over the years, many were questioning the viability and the commercially of personal cell therapy and after Dendron specifically. But I think now, at least in this matter, someone else paved the way for Brainstorm, Kite Pharma with personal cell therapy with CAR T cells, Bluebird and you know, and Novartis and others. So the CAR T cell therapy industry, at least and when it comes to the CMC and the manufacturing and the personal cell therapy versus the autologous, has proven us right. That was very important. They paved the way in that, in those matters. But immunotherapy is not stem cell therapy. So we are still to pave the way for stem cell therapy. We are still to pave the way for ALS, which is a graveyard of so many trials that did not have a very dramatic outcome. Cytokinetics as of lately failed. And Mitsubishi Tanabe has a somewhat clinically meaningful product, but that's it. So we're still there to be able to prove a very good, viable, meaningful, clinically meaningful treatment for ALS. I will present to you our phase 2 data. While it's not it wasn't powered efficacy, which is a primary safety trial, we saw, surprisingly, very strong efficacy signals in the data. And even a single dose up to 12, 16, and 24 weeks after treatment still had a very high percentage of responders, which is very impressive. On this slide, you will see a comparison between regular mesenchymal cells and neuro, the non-differentiated mesenchymal cells and differentiated cells. And these are from actual patients from the open-label trials in Israel. And you can see the comparison, a dramatic increase in neuro, which is the red, versus the blue, the regular mesenchymal cells, in various neurotrophic factors, GDNF, BDNF, VEGF, and AGF, which are all very relevant for ALS and in the neurodegenerative space at large. Sorry. So I mentioned we believe neuron will be a platform for various CNS diseases. Why do we believe so? These are all preclinical data that we have in Parkinson's disease. By the way, far stronger data than our ALS preclinical. Multiple sclerosis, we're looking seriously at progressive MS. Autism, we lately published a paper comparing, by the way, cell line to mesenchymal cells and to neuron. And we saw a dramatic better result in the neuron cells than the regular mesenchymal cells. And Huntington's disease and some others, which we don't even show here. This is just to show the timeline of our development. From 2007 to 2010 was a preclinical. And 2010, even though preclinical is still ongoing and R&D is ongoing, but from 2010 we started our open phase, open label phase 1 and open label phase 2, which was 26 patients combined. In 2014, we had a double-blinded placebo trial in the best centers in the United States, Mass General Hospital, UMass, and Mayo Clinic. And now, in 2017, we promised and we delivered. We initiated a phase 3 trial designed to treat 200 patients. We not only enrolled, the patients were treated in 2017 with neuron, and hopefully in the end of 2019, we should read out the top-line results of 200 patients, not a single dose, but a multi-dose. I will talk about that later. We'll have a slide on the exact design of the phase 3. This is the design of the phase 2, double-blinded trial that we did in the U.S. at the three centers I just mentioned. So since ALS is such a variable disease, we think that even though we look also from baseline to treatment, it's very important, probably more accurate. Yes, here we're paving the way again. We're educating the industry to look at pre-treatment to post-treatment. ALS, as you know, has so many different components, and it's so hard to diagnose for the mere reason that some patients will have weak upper motor neurons, some patients will have weak speech, some patients will have problems swallowing, some patients will have weak feet, and that means, and vice versa, only the feet are problematic. The lower motor neurons and upper motor neurons are fine. Some patients have both motor neurons not deteriorating, but speech goes on for years without a problem. So how do you really compare patient population? And it's very problematic. So in oncology, everyone knows, you look at the tumor before and after. We think in ALS, that's what you got to look at. The patient's own slope pre-treatment and the run-in period to after treatment. But we do know, and we have to live up to the industry way of looking at data. And the industry still looks at baseline to final treatment. And we will look at that also in the phase 3 results. We have looked at phase 2. But we do think, and even the agency, in the meetings we had with the agency, they agreed that it's more accurate to look at the patient's own data for the comparison. So therefore, we had in phase 2 a screening run-in period of 3 months. And then a few weeks before treatment, we have bone marrow aspiration. And then at transplantation, we introduced in the double-blinded phase 2 trial the CSF collection, and 2 weeks after the treatment, we did another CSF collection, which I will later show you biomarker results, which are very intriguing and very supportive of what we show on the efficacy. So even though, as I said, it's not power to efficacy trial, being it's a very small population, 48 patients, 3 to 1, as you can see here, still the biomarkers definitely give the confidence that this is not a by-chance result. This is also characterizations of the groups, and you can see that the treated and the placebo groups are very similar, and also very similar to what's known in other trials. Primary endpoint, as I said, was safety and tolerability, but we looked at secondary, the golden standard, which is the ALSFRS-R score. We also looked at SVC, specifically because at that time, Cytokinetics just initiated the trial only for SVC, the primary endpoint, which has failed, unfortunately. And exploratory, we looked at HHD and, as I just mentioned, the CSF biomarkers. And as you see, we only added, this was an amendment. When we designed the trial, we didn't think to do the CSF because you have to do another LP, and we didn't want to intrude into patients at such an early stage. But then the scientists said we should really try to look at the CSF if we believe that we have an impact, if we really believe that the stem cell delivery system allows the cells to stay longer, so you should see it in the CSF. You have nothing to be shy of, and let's do it. So we're very happy we did do that. By the way, in the next trial, we're going to do more than two LPs for the CSF. We're doing seven. Safety was a very good outcome. No deaths, no treatment-related SAEs observed, no dropouts related to the AEs. Yes, we do see very common adverse events like headaches, back pain, breakthrough, etc. More seen even in the treated group, very normal, 24 to 48 hours transient outcome of the treatment, very safe profile, specifically given that it's ALS. Now, how did we look at the data? And as I told you, we looked at the mean change as well, post and pre-treatment, and we looked at the absolute point change. Just for your information, in the ALSFRS-R score, the mean patient declines per month based on PROACT data from thousands of patients between 0.7 to 1 point per month. That's the mean decline per month. You can do your own mathematics when we see a patient improve to a, when you compare it to his own slope, 1.5 per month. This is not only stopping the decline, it's usually an improvement in his slope progression. The same, we looked at the method of 100% improvement. It's a different method to look at the absolute point improvement versus the percentage improvement. Because when you look at the absolute point, it is an, you know the absolute point in the patient. But when you compare the patient, 100% in every patient will mean different. It's relevant to how much his decrease in the slope was before treatment. So if he, let's say, he was a full point, 100% improvement means he had to get better a full point in the decrease of the slope. If he was only 0.75, he only had 0.75. So it's not the same absolute. So because it's a responder analysis and we're trying to educate it, we looked at both methods at the absolute point and at the percentage point. For efficacy power, I can tell you, it also makes a lot of more sense to look at the responder analysis. We did a very strong powering assessment when we prepared the design for our phase 3, and we landed at a 1.25 per month improvement post-slope compared to pre-slope for 7 months after baseline. So that's really 11 months after enrolling the patient. That will be the primary endpoint for phase 3. But let's just quickly look at the phase 2 data first. So this is the mean ALSFRS slope improvement. On the left side, you see all participants. So before the blue line, you see the decline. It's about 0.7 or 0.8. The blue were the treated patients. The red are the placebo patients. You see the treated patients were even a little bit worse decline than the non-treated. And after the blue line, you see at 2 and 4 weeks, a very impressive improvement from a single dose. And that's the mean analysis. If you look at excluding the slow progressors, by the way, we pre-specified that subgroup of excluding the slow progressors, meaning we're excluding patients that are declining less than 1 point per month, less than the mean decline. And they're not only in 2 and 4 weeks, even at 8 and 12 weeks, you still see a full point improvement when you compare pre to post. and the mean score. This is data, to our best knowledge, never seen in ALS. Not in trials and not in approved products. This is the absolute 1.5 point. It's a very high bar. There's a Niels paper, about 100 doctors, I believe, neurologists, that say that 25% improvement, which relates to 0.3 absolute in the absolute point in the ALS-FRS-R score, is somewhat clinically meaningful. 50% improvement is very clinically meaningful. 1.5 is higher than 100% improvement. And again, at the left-hand side, you would see all participants, and even at 12 weeks, you see over 20% responders to zero non-responders, zero placebo responders. And in the subgroup, excluding the slow progressors, the pre-specified subgroup, at 12 weeks, you see 50% responders. Very close to Kite's CAR T cells responders. 100% the same, 50% almost. When you look at the responders, even up to 16 weeks, it's 40%. These are the biomarkers. Yeah, one can argue until this slide, 48 patients, 3-to-1 randomization, this can be a chance result maybe. Sporadic ALS, sometimes there's some improvement, who knows. So here you have a good QA/QC of what is placebo and what is treated. I would focus specifically on VEGF and HGF on the top of the chart. Blue is before treatment, the green is after treatment. HGF in the plot over doesn't look too significant, but I can tell you it is. And you can see the mean is statistically significant down at the bottom. So for the VEGF, it's, I believe, 0.05 and 0.01 in HGF. And they are known to be very relevant for ALS and for other neurodegenerative diseases. For VEGF and HGF, there are trials trying to introduce only these neurotrophic factors. And the dramatic increase in the neurotrophic factors versus the placebo, where you see flat level before and after treatment. VEGF is flat, and HGF is flat before and after treatment. There's no increase. LIF, you don't see before and don't see after in placebo, and only shows up after. And as I said, even though the names may talk about different diseases and different organs, but these are all relevant for neurodegenerative diseases and for motor neurons. At the same time, look at MCP1, probably the most relevant, but all of them, CRP, NF1, and MIP, are all relevant to ALS. And again, you will see a dramatic decrease in the inflammatory markers. The 2 weeks result of the CSF, 2 weeks after treatment, predicted, correlates with the responders 2 months after treatment. The data we didn't present because we're preparing publications, so we can't put everything out before, but this is very dramatic. And I think our KOL POIs were very, very surprised to see these biomarkers support the outcome of phase two. It predicts, not only supports, the CSF in 2 weeks after treatment predicts the outcome of a single dose 2 months after treatment. Phase three study, therefore, all of this led up to the design of the phase three study. So now we are powering, of course, the efficacy. So it's a randomized double-blind placebo-controlled multi-dose trial, 200 patients, one-to-one randomization, 6 leading US ALS clinical sites. I mentioned the 3 in the previous one. We added 3 sites here in California, and the reason is not for a demographic reason, even though California is a huge state, and there's enough patients that will serve with these centers. But you may know CIRM, the California Institution for Regenerative Medicine, has granted us a $16 million grant, anti-dilutive grant, for this trial, and therefore we had to serve more patients in this state than the other 49 states, and they deserve it. And the centers are also very good centers and very good KOLs in the field. Here in San Francisco, CPMC, Dr. Bob Miller is an icon in ALS, involved the last 30 years in every ALS trial possible out there. Cedar Sinai, Dr. Bello, and Clive, and UCI Irvine. These are very three good centers of ALS in the state, which we're very proud of them joining us in the phase 3 trial. Actively recruiting and enrolling. Study design is to have patients about 11 months from in pre-treatment. This time the run-in period is not only to measure their score, it's also we will be excluding patients that are declining, slow decliners, slow progressors, because we want to try to replicate the phase 2 best subgroup, and the best subgroup are the faster progressors. So we're not taking any chances. We're trying to minimize our risk. So you see pre-treatment 3 months baseline to determine the slope, still slow progressive. Treatment 3 doses over 4 months. In the previous chart, we had only one single treatment. Now we'll have every 2 months, 3 treatments, 0 baseline, 2 months after, 4 months after, and follow up additional 3 months after the last treatment. Primary outcome measure of the FOSR, 1.25 points, as I told you. And the City of Hope, I didn't mention, is the manufacturing center for the cells. We had a wonderful running period, and we had a clean first three samples, got approved by the agency as a CMC center. And since then, we already produced neuron for actual patients, which were treated as we promised in 2017. I think this concludes my presentation, and since there's no additional presentations, if anyone has a question, I'm more than happy to take it here with the permission from the moderator. Any questions? Yes. I cannot say that. Let me tell you that. CAR T cells, again, is a very good example. They paved the way, and I think the FDA was very, very instrumental in approving these different CAR T cells products over the last year. I think it's a new FDA we see in the last few years. We feel some people are learning, but some are there to support. As a whole, I think the FDA was, we have very good rapport with them, and I think that they're fully supportive of this trial. And of the outcomes, of course, yeah. Yeah, but paving the way has challenges to it and has upsides to it, right? Yes. So the answer for that is that we were approached many times by various markets because the ALS patient community is a desperate community, as you all know. We decided as a company to stay focused within the EMEA, Israel, and the United States. And you will know that we discussed it in the past, that we are looking at a hospital exam pathway in Israel. I have nothing that I can announce at the moment, in addition to what we announced lately, that we just last week were qualified for the CMC contract site we have in Israel. And that was a huge milestone for us because we are the ones manufacturing at that site. It's not a CMO. The FDA would look at the data at the end of phase 3. They would want to see a statistical significant result in our primary endpoint, possibly, and that's what we're hoping for. And probably they will have to compare it to other approved products. And we feel that if we replicate our phase 2, and even I can quote people from the agency saying that if we replicate the subgroup of phase 2, probably will not even be ethical to ask for another trial. Okay, thank you very, very much for being so late in the day to listen to us. And I'm sure you're going to have a very nice evening going to the various cocktail events. I'm sure you have more than one that you're invited to. So enjoy them. Thank you very much.